of the hanging. They're painting the passports brown. The beauty parlor is filled with sailors. The circus is in town. Here comes the blind commissioner. They've got him in a trance. One hand is tied to the tightrope walker. The other is in his pants. And the riot squad, they're restless. They need somewhere to go. As Lady and I look out tonight from Desolation Row. Cinderella, she seems so easy. It takes one to know one, she smiles and puts her hands in her back pocket, Betty Davis style. And in comes Romeo, he's moaning. You belong to me, I believe. Then someone says, you're in the wrong place, my friend. You'd better leave. And the only sound that's left after the ambulances go is Cinderella sweeping up on Desolation Row. Now the moon is almost hidden. The stars are beginning to hide. The fortune-telling lady has even taken all her things inside. All except for Cain and Abel and the hunchback of Notre Dame. Everybody is making love or else expecting rain. And the good Samaritan, he's dressing, he's getting ready for the show. He's going to the carnival tonight on Desolation Row. Ophelia, she's neath the window. Second birthday, she already is an old maid. To her, death is quite romantic. She wears an iron vest. Her profession's her religion. Her sin is her lifelessness. And though her eyes are fixed upon Noah's great rainbow, she spends her time peeking into Desolation Row. Einstein disguised as Robin Hood, with his memories in a trunk, passed this way an hour ago with his friend, a jealous monk. Now he looked so immaculately frightful as he bummed a cigarette. Then he went off sniffing drain pipes and reciting the alphabet. You would not think to look at him, but he was famous long ago for playing the electric violin on Desolation Row. Dr. Phil, he keeps his world inside of a leather cup. cards that read, have mercy on his soul. They all play on the penny whistle, you can hear them blow. If you lean your head out far enough from Desolation Row. Across the street, they nailed the curtain. They're getting ready for the feast. The Phantom of the Opera, in a perfect image of a priest. Here, spoon-feeding Casanova, to get him to feel more assured. Then they'll kill him with self-confidence after poisoning him with words. And the Phantom shouting to skinny girls, get out of here if you don't know. Casanova is just being punished for going to Desolation Row. At midnight, all the agents and the superhuman crew come out and round up everyone that knows more than they do. Then they bring them to the factory where the heart attack machine is strapped across their shoulders. And then the kerosene is brought down from the castle by insurance men who go check to see that nobody is escaping to Desolation Row. Praise be to Nero's Neptune. The Titanic sails at dawn. Everybody's shouting, which side are you on? And Ezra Pound and T.S. Eliot fighting in the captain's tower, while Calypso singers laugh at them and fishermen hold flowers. Between the windows of the sea, where lovely mermaids flow, and nobody has to think too much about Desolation Row.
Desolation Row by Bob Dylan, of course, and I just love those lyrics. I love a lot of his lyrics. He's got to be one of the greatest lyricists ever, along with Leonard Cohen. Okay, so yeah, because I often feel like I'm on Desolation Row, but I don't know if I really am. Anyways, okay, so tonight we have a special treat for everybody listening, and thanks for being here, all of you. And we have my new shiny friend, Shelby Aesthetic. And I've known Shelby for about a year and a half, thanks to Renee Richards. And she's just, you know, there's not even words, but she's a phenomenal clairvoyant. She is also a great, fantastic artist. She's very multi-talented in a lot of different realms. And she's got, you know, she's just got this beautiful heart. And I'm very, so happy that we've become friends. And I've had the opportunity of connecting with her soul-wise and that. So I have to really... I am very thankful for that. So with that being said, I am going to bring on Miss Shelby, and we'll see how she's doing. Oh, no. Shoot, everything just switched. Hold on.
Hello?
A second. No,
hello?
This is the – I picked up the wrong call. I'm sorry. All right, here she is. Shelby.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
You could hear how excited that other person was when I picked up the phone. Oh, man.
Probably pretty confused.
Yeah, right. Well, the switchboard switched, and I was, like, about to click on yours, and then it clicked on another number. But anyway, so how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, and thank you for having me on early.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I get up so early, so, but I'm absolutely honored to be here, Corrine. You're probably one of the coolest people I've ever met and have been a big part of my journey, so I'm very, very grateful that you're having me on. I can talk about spirituality all day, so.
Yeah, I know you can. I know. And so, yeah, Shelby goes to bed kind of early because I noticed that people that, I can't say that everyone's spiritual goes to bed early, but I mean, I cannot imagine having your mind, because when to see the world through your eyes must be amazing. So I kind of want to get into how, you know, first of all, you know, I know that you got into this after some time of having this talent and these abilities, but you kind of were more forced, not forced into it, but, you know, it happened sort of later than sooner for you. Can you explain exactly what that journey was like growing up with this kind of, you know, knowledge and ability?
Well, honestly, I grew up with a lot of anxiety over it. I tried to suppress it as much as I could, and I tried to pretend it wasn't there, and I... you know, my mom, she wasn't a big fan of, the other side. It was scared her. She didn't understand it at the time. And, I think toward the end of her life, she did kind of come into some understanding, and she knew, before she died, I told her what was going on with me, and she was very accepting at the time. And I do think that a lot of this stuff runs in my family also, but it's magical now, but for many, many years, it was very hard. It was depressing, and I tried to run away from it, and, you know, I did everything I could to make it go away. So now I'm in a place, the last few special, I will say though, that there were times that I, you know, things would happen over the years, and it kind of did make me wonder, but I was a skeptic myself. I didn't believe in myself. I didn't understand my gifts, and I thought something was wrong with me. So anytime I would see anything about psychics or anything like that, I didn't believe it. I was a non-believer. So this is a big change in this part of my life now that I'm living.
Right. So, you know, and I know that the time when your mom was dying, I mean, it's just a wicked time for anybody whenever a parent dies. And you were right there with your mom. And, you know, did that kind of spur you on to, you know, maybe look deeper into this? Because I know, Shelby, you mentioned before that you didn't believe in life after death for a long time.
No, I didn't. You know, I just thought people went, you know, turned to dust. I had a very analytical mind, and I always have to have proof of everything. You know, I have to see it, and I have to see the facts behind it. I'm a researcher, and I'll read as much information as I can about things. But when it really came into the psychic part of it, I really was very dismissive of it because I didn't feel like there was any scientific or legitimate proof of it. Now, my great aunt was, she had some ability and did work. As far as I know, she did work with the Houston Police Department, or at least that's what my mom told me a few times on some cases. But again, it was just so, like, I just didn't, I was too scared of it. I was too scared of it. So it took me accepting the emotional part of myself and to really come into balance with the mental part of myself to say, all right, some of these things that I may be feeling might be real, or some of the things that I'm seeing might be real. And honestly, I feel like spirit really pushed me to grow at the time when I needed to the most, because I was at a place in my life when all of this kind of came about where I was just ready to end everything. I was tired of my life. I was frustrated. I was depressed. And it was because I wasn't allowing myself to flow with this energy. And so I kept pushing it down, and I was absolutely miserable. Now this was like, I don't know, a year, 18 months or so before my mom died. And I, out of nowhere, I said, this is it. This is going to be the day. And but before I kill myself, I'm going to meditate. Which is weird because I'd never meditated, right? I mean, I did, but not like really. And I was just looking for something. I needed hope. And I remember sitting there really still and saying, like, I just need something. I need, you know, I was crying. I was upset. And I had this flash. It was a face. It was a face that was, it was gold. And it started spinning towards me and smacked me so hard between the eyes that I literally fell backwards. And it was after that moment that everything in my life changed. Everything that I had been pushing back for so long flushed forward. It came forward. And it was in such a rush that I was worried I was going to lose my job and everything else, because I really felt out of control. I had no knowledge of grounding. I had no knowledge of what energy was. I just knew that I was seeing and hearing and experiencing all of these new and amazing things that they weren't amazing at the time. I was terrified of it. But, you know, I held strong. Some of it was even curiosity, like, oh, man, I just want to see, you know, what kind of mental illness this is. You know, I was just, I didn't know how to handle it. So, but through learning and learning to channel my own energy and learning to ground myself, I learned to see things in love instead of fear. And when I embraced that part of myself, it changed everything for me. So I started working with the mentor. It was a few months before my mom died, and before she died, I told her what had happened. Now, I've come out of the closet, so to speak, with it, but I've had to do that before in my life, you know, with my sexuality. So to me, it was like, man, this was like, that was like pre-training for me to be brave enough to come forward with and speak the truth and not be scared. I live in a small southern town, so I'm already a really not well received and by many people here because of my orientation. So then you add that I see energy and I work with energy on top of that. And it's like, it's heartbreaking to see how some of the people that I'm even very close to have kind of turned away from me on that. And it's okay. I understand now. I understand. So, but telling my mom and her being able to know and believe in me before she left was very, very important to me.
Right. I can imagine. So when you say this gold face, smacked you, what do you know what that was exactly? Can you, you know, and I know it's to give an exact, you know, name for energy is probably impossible, but what would you say that that was?
Well, I know exactly. I know exactly what I mean. It was higher consciousness, and I think this is when that was my first experience with seeing something else, you know, besides what I see with my physical eyes. So, and the colors were a big telltale, and at the time I didn't understand that, but now I do. And when it smacked me like that, it was almost like telling me it's time to wake up. Like, enough messing around, it's time to wake up. Like, this is, you can't go on how you're going on. I was flooded with, it was the first time that I understood the energy that was flowing through my body also. And I was so clogged up with fear and thought forms, you know, that I had around me that I couldn't, it was real crazy how it was moving through me. And it was really uncomfortable at first because I didn't understand how to manage it. So, and you can't really put a name on anything. I don't view the world anymore with my physical eyes because of that. That moment led me to understand that everything we experience on Earth in our physical reality is, I look at everything in layers now. I no longer see just what's in front of me. So I've learned to peel layers. To me, we are like a whole lot, our bodies are a whole lot like an oil painting. And you work with layers and work with colors to make certain images. And you end up with these, you know, this incredible overall picture. But if you peel the layers off and watch how that stuff was made, it takes all of that to understand the whole picture. So now that's what I do. I peel layers of energy back to understand it and to see it.
Right, right. Now, you said one of the coolest things ever, that I've ever heard, and that was we were talking about personality versus soul, like, and I think I was probably complaining about how some things, you know, I mean, you know, getting mad about something or something like this. And you said, so when your personality is driving, you're gonna be affected and react and, you know, get upset about things. But if your soul is driving, you know, your moment, your, you know, your life, then it's quite a different story. And so I was almost going to name this show Soul Driver because I think that's the coolest thing. That's one of the coolest things I've ever heard, is that let your soul drive, not your personality. And I think you do that. You know, I mean, I know Renee, in fact, does that definitely. It's hard for us as human beings, of course, to, you know, surrender all of that personality, earth stuff, you know, to let our soul take forefront, you know. And I thought that was so cool. But so now one time, and I'm sorry, I brought this up a couple times already, but one time you said, we were talking and you said, I mentioned the fairies because I had just read a fairy book, and you said, oh, you don't see fairies? And I said, no, I don't see
I didn't understand when I started seeing stuff. I just assumed that, you know, maybe everybody that is working with ability sees. So I didn't understand that it wasn't so black and white, or there wasn't like a, this is the only way everybody sees. You know, I couldn't comprehend that. It took me a while to understand. But if I'm out in, to me, everything is energy. So if I'm out in the woods, or I'm out, you know, I don't know, walking anywhere, I can communicate with all kinds of things and, you know, plants. It's all energy. It's all the soil, the earth, everything. And it's all about, it's what my connection is to the things in my surroundings that I'm working with. So, you know, I see all kinds of stuff. I don't, and these days I don't even really bat an eye too much if I see something really interesting or different. And, you know, before I'm like, oh, there's the I'm crazy. You know, I just would automatically go there because, I mean, nobody talks about that stuff. Well, at least not the circles I was running in.
Right. So tell me, when you see a fairy, what do you see?
Well, now it's, and this is the other thing. It's always an evolution of seeing with me. So I think for me, it's like how my brain handles understanding certain things. So at the time, I think that was the least scary thing for me to see. So that's why I was seeing those things. Or, you know, now I work with other earth energies that come in. There's a whole team of spirits that I work with that lead me to certain places on this planet that I work energetically with. So when I see things now, it's always in light. So it's always in color and light, and I see orbs and things like that. As a matter of fact, you know, before I really understood what was going on, I remember complaining to my wife that I was being woken up by these balls of energy in the room, and they would float around, and it was making me mad because it would wake me up at the same time, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and it was driving me crazy. And she was about the only one I could trust with anything. So I would say, this is what's going on. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going crazy or not, but this is what's happening. And it would feel like these, again, I would not understand it, so I wouldn't understand it was in love. But at the time, it would be these green or sometimes pink giant balls, these orbs that I would see in my room. There's no light. It's pitch black. And I'm like, am I hallucinating? Like, what is this? But I would feel them wake me up. And so a lot of times when I see stuff out, when I'm out now, it's the same thing. There are these colors of energy. And usually I can tell by the color what kind of consciousness I'm working with.
Right. So when people, now I posted something on Facebook last night, and it was, tell me what is preventing you from being at peace? And of course the answers were poverty, worry. Shelby, how do you separate yourself from the mundane freaking, you know, crap of being just a human being? Like, is it easy for you to do that? And how do you, can we do that? Can we all do that? Can we separate ourselves from that?
I think that's a really awesome question. I really do, because I feel, I don't feel like I'm more powerful or better than anybody. I still struggle, and I still, my biggest setback, or I guess what holds me back, or whatever you had just said, is my ego. It is not just how it can inflate to where I feel like I'm better than somebody, because that's usually not how it gets me. It usually makes me feel less than, like I'm not worth it, and I can't succeed, and I've got a very, lots of practice with that. So that would be where I fall first. Every single time, you know, when I get paranoid. But something really awesome, and I think is Neville Goddard or something like that. He had this quote about, to play the whole picture out. The whole, like, if you're in a situation, imagine the end of the movie. Stop staying in the situation we're in. Imagine where you want to be. And at first, it just seemed like real, you know, oh, this is just some of that law of attraction, new age mumbo jumbo. But I was willing to try anything at that point because I was sick and tired of being stuck in this negative state of mind. So that's what I would do. I would say, this is not making me who I am. You know, who I am right now is a whole slew of my past experiences, but I want to be something else. And I would imagine what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And most of the time it was just that I wanted to feel free. So I would imagine myself doing those things. And it doesn't always work. I mean, you know, sometimes I want to feel like, you know, crap. Or sometimes I have a hard time escaping that part of myself. So I feel like for me, it's the same as it's always been, except that now I have hope that things will be different and I can tune myself into the energy that I want and focus on that. And a lot of times it pops me out of where I am. Like everybody. I still get like everybody.
Yeah, I know, but there's, you know, I mean, well, like you said, it's like if we put our souls first before, you know, oh, I'm supposed to be upset because I owe all this money. I'm, you know, so you talk yourself into your own story. You know what I'm saying? And but I know it's difficult. But I also think sometimes, a lot of times, that we are meant to feel this pain and suffering and longing and this type of thing. I don't know if that's true. I mean, you know, some people say we're here to experience things and to learn things. Other people say we're here to be happy. And, you know, who the hell knows, really, you know? But when you, you know, I often talk about my father's dementia and how he saw things that, you know, I didn't see, such as me standing next to myself and things like this. Do you think that there is a connection with dementia or Alzheimer's to being in, you know, on a different timeline or frequency, Shelby?
I think that a really interesting story is that I would, this is when my mom was dying, and I went to Texas to see her and to my grandfather's house. And I was doing some yard work or something, but I had somehow connect into his energy. And I was seeing this play happening of everything that had happened in his life and things that were happening in his life. And then I was connecting in with my mother and seeing all of these things. Now I'm like outside doing something, and this incredible movie was playing in front of me. And I am a firm believer that they were communicating with me in that way. You know, my mom was not in a good place, and she was on her way to crossing over. And I feel like my connection with my grandfather, even who was, you know, he's still alive, but he, you know, he's got his own sort of things going on. And there was some concern even about his mind or the communication or whatever. But I really felt like in that aspect that they absolutely were connecting in with me. I was absolutely understanding so many parts of their life, and not just how it affected them and the people around them, but the ripple effect that was happening through the entire planet as a result. And that's what I understood in that moment, that we are doing a whole lot of things. Even as I'm just sitting here, my energy is working, doing all kinds of other things, connecting with, I can feel people connecting in with me. I can understand that. So I think, especially with Alzheimer's and dementia patients, they have a whole lot to say energetically in that way. And I believe we're multidimensional beings, every single one of us.
Right. So you do believe that that we are living simultaneous lives at once?
I think it's absolutely possible. Listen, I don't rule anything out really anymore. I don't believe there's one truth. I don't think that there's one way to see. I don't think there's, you know, if the colored gold means something to me, I don't think it means the same thing to anyone else necessarily. So I feel like there's all kinds of possibilities. And I do feel like there, to me, because there's been such a change in my life, it almost feels like I jumped to a completely different world. You know, that I feel like that a whole lot sometimes. So I wouldn't doubt that.
Right. It's so interesting. I mean, like you said, I mean, the possibilities are truly endless about what could be happening in this world and universe and beyond. It's just, it's amazing. But to be able to tap into it as you can is just, it's incredible to me. Now, have you seen what we might consider to be heaven or heavenly realms?
I do. I've seen some things, especially after my mom crossed over. You know, for a long time, I felt like she wasn't talking to me. I felt she was far away from me. but she brings a lot of information to me, and I can't, like, you know, I can't go cross over necessarily in that way, but I can't see all the way, you know, through some things, but I absolutely believe in higher realms. It goes back to the layers, like the oil painting that I was talking about. I do think that in the simultaneous being that we are, I do feel that there are many, many places of existence that we can go consciously and unconsciously. I feel like there's an infinity of possibilities to see and understand different realms and spirits and aspects of ourselves. And I mean, that's been the biggest part of my work, is working with me and the different parts of me. And there's so many.
Right, right. So, you know, I know that you're a great reader. You read so many books, you read so much. Are there any books you could point to for the listeners that really helped you out?
I read every freaking thing I could get my hand on. And if there's anything I can tell anyone, it is read as much as you can and take what works and throw the rest away. Because it goes back to really being able to formulate exactly what works for you and your spirituality. Because some people, they may not be seers. Maybe they hear spirit, or maybe, you know, maybe they read bones, or maybe they read tarot, or what, you know. I just feel like there's this plethora of opportunity for everyone. I read some of my favorite books now. I read The Mahatma a lot. I read that one every day. And I loved Sedona Beyond the Vortex was great. I love anything with sacred geometry in it, because I feel I can connect in with sacred geometry. The Book of Knowledge is really great. The Keys of Enoch, I love that one. I'm just really getting into that one. But in the beginning, it was really everything. Soul psychology. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I'm a little embarrassed. I can't remember it. But soul psychology was recommended to me by my mentor when I first started, and it helped me to understand a whole lot, sort of the anatomy of the way things work. And when you read something you identify with and you understand that people are writing about the things that you see or hear or experience, it helps you to feel like you're a part of something. And so when I really started feeling like I was connecting in with those things, everything else just started kind of, it was like this whole path just you know, was laid out before me.
So Renee just commented.
Joshua David Stone. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, Joshua David Stone loved The Purple Plate. Not that I'm trying to plug my website.
No, he did. He did. And there's a really good reason behind that. And we're talking about being able to see into different aspects and realms and all this other stuff. And to me, that is a great example. The Purple Plate is an amazing example of universal energy and seeing how my food reacts to it, or my water reacts, you know, whatever. I have them all over the place in my house now. I could clear everything myself, but why do that when I can stick a big plate in my refrigerator?
Right, exactly. Right, Shelby?
I'm serious. I have them all over the place.
Yeah, I do too. Well, obviously I do too. Because I get some plates that are scratched and, you know, they're energized completely, but I can't sell them. So, you know, I always have more places to put them. Or I give them away. But so we're talking about Purple Plates, and if you guys are interested, you can go to purpleplates.com. I never do that on my show, but I'm doing it now. So
I'm going to do it. Well, let me do it, because the first time I got one, I was going to test it out, right, because somebody had told me about your product, and I'm like, well, I'll test it. and I did, and I meditated with it, and it blew my brains out. It was amazing. I loved it. I was sold after that moment. I was sold.
Yeah. Well, I was delighted when you liked the place, when I found that out. I was just absolutely delighted. So anyways, all right, so that's enough plug for Purple Plates. But but so you have you have a beautiful son named Max, and
yes.
he seems to be very tuned in as well, shall we? Would you say that that's
yes,
true?
Yes. I would. He's definitely He's definitely tuned in. He sees, he hears, and he experiences.
Mhm. Yeah. He's
kind of my barometer in a lot of ways too, because he seems to pick things up a lot quicker than I do. He communicates with my mom and a lot, and which is interesting. And he just seems like it's so natural for him. He just, and I'm like, thank God I was able to understand what was going on with me when I did, because when he started understanding things that were happening, I didn't go to him in fear. Like my mom did with me. My mom freaked out when I told her something one night that I was seeing and experiencing, and told me never, ever to talk about it again. It terrified her.
Wow. Wow. So, yeah. So you
and
learned
it,
to
I
shut
look
up
back
about...
on it. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. I look back at it now and I'm like, what I was explaining to her, it wasn't scary. But when she reacted in fear, I freaked out. And then I'm like, oh God, that's bad. I can't so then it was like, anytime I see, hear anything, it's bad. It's bad. And there was a little bit of time, even in high school, and look, you know, I can look back in high school and realize, you know, I was channeling sometimes, and I didn't understand what was happening. Even throughout, you know, the year, I would meet in with these groups of people a couple times a week to talk about different things, and I would find myself channeling messages to these people, and I didn't understand what was happening at the time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've been blessed to have a couple of readings from you, Shelby, and I mean, really, you know, I think that what most of us, when we're looking for a reading, we want to understand the sole purpose of what is going on in our lives, and I think you
yeah.
provide that. Renee provides that. It's like, you want to know why are these things happening? Not only what's going to happen, but tell me who I am. You know, what are my colors? What, you know, I mean, and I know all of us are capable of discerning this information ourselves when we get to that point, but it's certainly so helpful to get a reading from someone such as yourself. So can you tell people where to find you for a reading? Because you are just, you're undercharging right now, as far as I'm concerned. Because your readings are incredible. So can you tell people where to find you to get a reading?
Yep, I'm actually it's shelbyaes.intuitalks.com is my website, or Third Eye Betty at WordPress. So on the WordPress site, so either one of those will work. But I do want to mention, you know, I enjoy being able to do the readings for people right now, especially because I feel like it helps me to connect with souls, and that's what I want to do. I've never, you know, I wondered for a long, long time, and I kept saying, "What's my purpose? What's my purpose? What's my purpose?" You know, because everybody thinks they have to have a purpose in life. And I was in meditation one day with my own soul, and it was such a powerful experience, because I was told the only thing, your only purpose, right? I mean, you have lots of purposes, but your only purpose really is to experience. And I always have such high standards. I'm so hard on myself, and I have such high standards about things. And I still have confidence issues in readings and things. I still don't understand everything that I always see, and it helps when I'm talking with somebody else and I say, you know, if I see something that I don't understand and I say it, they can confirm for me and help validate me, and that helps me. So it's not, I feel like there's a great exchange of energy between myself and the person that I'm working with. And I feel like my biggest purpose is to love and experience everything everything. Life is so short here. This physical life is so short, and I want to experience everything in love. I'm sick of walking around miserable and angry all the time. I did that for, you know, almost 40 years. I don't want to continue that way.
No. And I mean, yeah, so it's like, you know, like what you were saying before about how you were pushing against the tide of the energy that you were seeing. So when, you know, and it's such a simple phrase to say that when you push against the tide, you drown. And when you don't, you know, you go with the flow. I mean, it's such a simple thing, but it's so true. I hope that we can all remember that. Thank you, Jennifer, for putting the link in the chat room. Thank you very much. And like Kathleen's saying, it's so exhausting living in anger. It is, you know.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It lowers, you know, I think looking at how vibrations make up certain frequencies of an overall being, you know, if I look at myself, if I stand, this is how I see, I stand myself next to myself to see what my progress. So I stand myself, you know, when I first started doing all of this stuff, next to me right now, and I can see the progress, and I can see that love is what's guiding me now. And it's not frustration and anger. Not that that's wrong. Like if somebody chooses to live their, and it is a choice. If somebody chooses to live their life like that, if they choose to see the darkness and everything, and they choose to see the anger and, you know, for me, for many years, it was, this is happening to me because I'm, you know, I'm a piece of crap or whatever. Of course this happened to me. It's like, you know, you got to watch what you say. Of course this is going to happen. Of course this happened, because it's going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I said, it's like
I was listening.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Shelby.
No, you
go ahead.
I was actually listening to or watching. I was watching one of the readings that you did not too long ago with somebody, and I was seeing like this, the connection that you were making with people, and I thought, man, you know, like how awesome is it for you, you know, Kareen, because when I first met you, you weren't doing readings, were you?
No, I wasn't, and I still feel like I'm playing a psychic medium.
So that's what I was about to say. So I'm looking at you do this reading and how you're connecting in with this person. I'm like, man, and the person was expressing so much gratitude and felt so good and comforted and loved. And it was a very short reading, but it was amazing. The response from the person, I thought, man, how cool is that, that I get to see that? Because I mean, I didn't see or hear you read for a long time. So seeing that stuff in the group where on Facebook group where we read sometimes, I was watching that interaction, and I thought, man, that inspired me. You know, it inspires me. I'm like, I want the people that I'm reading to feel that connection too. So to me, there's no such thing as a plain psychic medium. I mean, you either have it or you don't. You have it. So to me, when you're connecting in with people on any level, it doesn't matter, you know, even if your self-confidence is, I'm just this plain psychic medium, you're changing lives. You're changing lives, and that's inspiring, not just to the person you're reading, but to everybody that gets to see it, you know, and like, what's the ripple effect? That's my big thing about energy and seeing into different realms or whatever you want to call it, being able to see what the ripple effect is on many different levels and, you know, how it pulls out energetic scar tissue that someone has, and you can see a healing taking place and happening. To me, there's nothing better than that. Nothing.
No, you're right. You're right. It is an amazing feeling. In case you guys don't know, Shelby's an Aquarian and I am also. And so we're kind of known, Aquarian girls are kind of known for being a little crazy and, you know, offbeat. But I love it. You know what I mean? I'm glad.
Yeah, me too.
When I was growing up, it's like I just, and you might have felt the same way when you were growing up, Shelby, that you just wanted to freaking fit in with these girls with their, you know, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm so glad now that I didn't fit in and I wasn't like them. And so anyways, we should all be proud of where, you know, or grateful for where we came from and what we went through, you know? Now, the other day we were also talking because you were on Chris at Curious Time show the other day. And I kind of forced you to go there, which, hey, Yvette, I talked to Yvette Howell. She's an amazing reader herself. I'm so glad to see her here. I was saying, but Chris was very thrilled to get a reading from you, and I was so glad that she experienced that and that you were able to do that. But you're also saying, which is true, how do we as psychic mediums separate the spirits that are being, you know, that are coming to us when we're doing readings? Like, have you determined, Shelby, how to kind of put them in a waiting room a little bit? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, well, so at that time when I was on that, when I was doing that little surprise show, I had no idea it was going to end up like that, but I was actually bombarded a little bit with, I was having a hard time figuring out who belonged to who. There's just so many souls that were stepping forward. And sometimes when that happens, you know, like my nerves get to me. And so I did have a little bit of a hard time, but typically there is, I always, usually working one-on-one, it's not as big of a deal, but when I'm working with a group of people, I am learning how to set rooms up. I am learning how to, you know, here's a chair, wait your turn. I am learning about that, because so many have a message for healing and so many want to communicate. And if to me, as frustrating as that can be, it fills me with gratitude because I know that life goes on. And I know that there are so many people that want to offer healing and love that have crossed over to the people that are hurting, or even if they're not hurting, just to say, I am here with you. I was going to bed. This has been like a month ago, 2 months ago. I was going to bed one night, and this spirit shows up in my room, and sometimes I see them with my physical eyes. And he belonged to my downstairs neighbor. It was his father. And so he's talking, you know, he's telling me his name and all this other stuff. And it was incredible. It was incredible to experience that. So spirit communicates in many different ways, but when they're ready to talk, you know, they all want to talk.
Right. Yeah. And I mean,
it really is about having boundaries, which is really good for me, because who can't use more work with their boundaries, really?
Right. So, I mean, all right. So when, you know, I mean, are you woken up by spirits, or have you created those boundaries for yourself?
No, not anymore. I pretty much, you know, I've made my room off limits. When I'm going to sleep, I don't want to be woken up like that anymore. And really, you just got to put your foot down. It's just, they're, you know, people get away with what they can. And I think that spirit sometimes will too, you know, they'll push your boundaries a little. But now I understand it's nothing to be frightened of. And I push back and say, no, you're not coming in here. No, not tonight, or not between these, you know. So it's really the discernment too, between, do you really need to talk to me right now? You know, and what's best for me and my life and my family, because I can't go out in public. You know, when all this stuff first started happening, for instance, we went out to eat at a restaurant and it was horrible because I had no way to push all the souls back. And there were these tables and all these souls, I could see all of them, and they're just looking, like they're looking at me. And at the time I was scared. I'm like, what is going on? But the kid next to me at the next table, I'm seeing his grandmother, and she's telling me all this stuff about him and yada, yada, yada. And I do not walk up to people in public and give them readings. I don't do that. I don't agree with that for me. Not that it's somebody else can't do that, but I will not do that. So it was frustrating at the time because I didn't have any kind of training or grounding or anything like that. It was just, I was just seeing spirit. People I was working with, at the time I was painting all of these pictures for people that I worked with, and I would just give it to them. I wouldn't really tell them a whole lot about it, but I knew exactly everything the spirits were coming forward to talk to me about. So I don't know, I gave away like 10 paintings before I quit my job. And I think maybe just a couple people might know what was up with them. But for the most part, people were just like, oh, great, a painting. You know, they didn't understand the energy aspect of it. You know, like, you know, one of the ladies that worked there, her father that had crossed over was, you know, just pouring his heart out about all this stuff. And I'm painting this beautiful picture, and I gave it to her, and I was crying so hard when I handed it to her. I was so embarrassed. She still to this day has no idea what that was all about, I'm sure. But at the time, it was the only way I could express the things that I was seeing and experiencing in a way that I felt safe. So I did, and that's what I did. Now, I won't just walk up and give people readings, though, unless they've asked.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now, yeah, you're like, I'm just trying to eat my grilled cheese. Leave me alone.
Right.
So when I say the word mirror to you, what is a mirror? Like, because I mirrors, I know this is a weird question, but mirrors to me are like magical. Have you ever had any weird experiences with a mirror?
No, but I would love to hear your experience.
No, I haven't had any, but I'm wondering.
No, I haven't had any weird experiences with the mirror. I mean, besides them combing my fabulous hair, and I'm like, God, you look good.
So, you know what scrying is, right, Shelby?
Yes. Yes.
What do you think about that? I find that fascinating.
I think it's great. I think it's fascinating too. I have learned that you can use just about anything to communicate with the other side. And if you put your vibration in whatever you're working with and raise it to your highest potential, you're going to get some really cool messages.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was reading a book the other night. He was on my show, August Goforth's book. I'm still reading it. It takes me forever. But he was talking about how he was trying to scry in an inky bowl. But then nothing happened. He didn't see much of anything. But then he had something was shiny on his bedside table, and the light from the clock was shining on this shiny thing, and he saw in that image all this whole thing of his grandmother, like, coming forward. But I mean, it's just so cool. You know what I mean? Like, that whole,
yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
It is. I think those paintings, the energy paintings, are very similar. And a lot of times I'll do kind of a reading with some of that. I do a reading with the energy paintings that I do, but people a lot of times will say, well, what is it? So tell me what all this is. Well, you're going to see a whole lot in there that I may not too, but because I'm using your energy in this painting. So that's the cool part about all that, though, because it opens people's eyes up to viewing things in a different way. You can use paint, water, carpet. You know, I might have a ceiling that's like popcorn ceiling, just kind of stare up at it sometimes and get things, crystal balls, tarot card, I mean, anything. You can use anything.
Right, right. Yeah, you did a fantastic painting for me, which I freaking love so very much. It's very, to me, it looks oriental. Anyways, so you said that in that painting, which you did over a year ago for me, there is part of the painting is a guy with black hair leaning down and kissing me. And so, mm-hmm. In fact, that was part of my, hopefully it's part of my future. But so, I mean, you know, you're right. Images and surfaces. And I know Renee gets a lot of stuff in the bathroom, which I think may have to do with the water. Because the water
maybe,
is
yeah.
Yeah, the water's such a great conductor. You know what I mean? But
yes, it
who
is.
Knows? But it's so cool. So I'm going to give you the option because I know that you kind of were like a little bit on the fence about giving any kind of readings tonight, and I don't want to put you through anything that you don't want to do, and we don't have to do readings. We can just kind of carry on talking after a tiny break, but I just want to leave it up to you. What would you like to do?
Well, I would love to do a show with you where we just do readings, if that's okay. I'm not really too prepared for it tonight. It's kind of been one of – I've had some stuff go on today, so I haven't really had time to to get where I need to get.
That's absolutely fine.
But I would if you're willing, I'd absolutely love to come on to your show one night to do readings.
Okay, that would be fantastic, Shelby. Thank you. Okay, so you guys, we're going to take a quick little break, and then we'll be back to talk with Shelby. And it's not going to be a full two-hour show. Probably I'm going to do another half hour if she's willing, and then we're going to we'll have her back on to give readings. So I'm going to take a little tiny break here, and we will be back very shortly, and this is Elliot Smith. Okay.
There's no night time. It's only a
and that was Elliott Smith. I just love my dead rock stars, man. I love them. Okay, we're back with Shelby Aesthetic, the one and only amazing Third Eye Betty. Okay, so, you know, someone mentioned something in the chat that I was going to ask about earlier. Her, Christy says her friend was meditating next to a bowl of water during the last new moon. She said death came for her. Her hand was cold, and she said death had grabbed her hand and was trying to pull her into the bowl. Obviously, the woman was shaken up. Shelby, what about negative entities here? Do they exist? Do they only exist for some people? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that they don't exist, that they do exist. I think a lot of the things that we come into contact with are our own selves, and our own fears and things like that. This is right before my mom died, and I was in Texas. I woke up in the middle of the night to see this thing hovering over me, and the best way to describe it was that it was death, and it scared the hell out of me. And I remember kicking up in the air like what am I going to do, like fight a spirit? But I remember kicking up in the air, freaking out, rolling out of bed. I realized now what that was. It was a symbol to tell me that what was going to happen, what was coming. I reacted in fear, and as a result, I saw it look back at me in fear. I mean, I was reacting to what I was seeing, and but I understand what it is now. Now when I see that same thing that I see, because I have seen it since then several times, I understand it, and I look at it in love and understanding, and I know what that means. So it's not trying to scare me; it's trying to show me something. And so a lot of times, I think when we do come into contact with things that are negative, it could be something that maybe isn't, or it appears negative to us because of our own vibrational frequency, or because we don't understand things. But yes, I do. I'm not opposed to believing in those types of things for people, and I think that a lot of people do experience things that can't really be explained.
Right. So when you hear of a supposed, you know, possession case or something, what do you think that might be?
Well, I've read a couple of really interesting cases that have happened, and you know, it does often make me wonder, like, what kind of, you know, state the person was in or different things that are going on. I've seen it with the children, and, you know, children don't usually carry a super low frequency, so it surprised me when I was reading some of these things about the child aspect of it. But I think also, you know, like, how are the parents reacting to different things that they're seeing that's happening with the child as well? And is that fueling what's going on? And also, what kind of things are happening in the home, or what kind of things are they allowing to happen in the home? So I think there's a whole, I mean, that's a whole show.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, do you, you know, because a while ago, I felt, you know, I don't know if I'm going to put this correctly, but I mean, I felt like when you're so good, you kind of get attacked. Like, I spoke to Padre Pio's, the guy that took care of Padre Pio in the last part of his life, and the guy swore to me that he saw Padre thrown across the room, punched by an invisible force. I believe this guy. So
yeah.
It's because I thought, and I still think, it's because Padre Pio was so pure and good that he would get attacked. And I'm like, shoot, I better not be so good, right? Hey, not that I'm in danger of that, but I mean, but do you think that certain, you know, for instance, the person that has a lot of light, do they get attacked? I mean, what? I don't know. It's so weird to me, you know?
It is really interesting. And, you know, I don't know. For me, I feel like a lot of times light repels things that may be negative. And I know that a lot of people do different kind of protection meditations and grounding meditations and things like that. And And to me, that is a big part with dealing with those things. Not that I, because I believe you, that you believe that person, and I don't doubt it for a second. But I don't know that it was because, I don't know if it's because people are more light than not. I hang out in some pretty shoddy places back in the day and would see some pretty weird and crazy things, but I wasn't really hanging out with anybody that was doing anything right. So, you know, I saw a lot of that kind of stuff there too. So I don't know if it's also what your belief is too. Do you believe these things can happen to you, and do you fear them?
Right.
I think so many variables that each case really needs to be taken, separately. I mean, it's not like a cookie cutter, this is what happens and this is how it happens and this is how you get rid of things or this is how you attract certain things. I know people that are terrified of Ouija boards, and I know other people that aren't terrified of Ouija boards and have, they feel that you raise the vibration of what you're doing and your intention and that they're safe to use. So, and they've never had problems. So, I mean, what is it though? You know, what is it?
Right. Well, as Renee said a long time ago, and I always point to this, that thought forms, that we create these thought forms that are, perhaps negative sometimes, it's like we ourselves create the negative energy. But like you said, when it comes to a child, I don't know if they're getting attacked supposedly or whatever. I don't know why the child would have created such a negative thing at such a young age. But
I don't know either. But I've been in a couple of these different Facebook groups even, and people post like, oh my kid is being scratched and all this stuff, and you can feel the fear of the parent when their kid comes to them with these scratches. I don't know how they happen, and they feel the fear, and I wonder how much of that they absorb, and they create also a lot of different parts. My own personal thought forms that I have always carried with me since a child, that's what ran my life. I let fear run me for a very long time. So in that aspect, you look at it, I would see some pretty scary stuff in the beginning because I didn't know what I was seeing. And it would terrify me. I would start shaking. And that's why I ran as fast as I could to find somebody to help. I didn't know how to own my power. I didn't understand boundaries with spirit. I didn't understand boundaries with my own self and my own thought forms and ancient thought forms that we've been carrying since man has walked earth, that we believe these certain things and we believe them and we let those things run our lives.
Right. And I always and I know that certainly there's people in my life that come from a place of fear, and I don't think I do come from a place of fear on most. I don't know if I do. I don't think I do. I feel like I don't. But you kind of, do you ever get frustrated, Shelby, dealing with someone who is so fearful? And I know I can point to what you said before about letting your soul see things, through the soul's eyes, so to speak, rather than the personality. But sometimes, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I get frustrated, I guess, with people.
I do. I mean, I've done some readings with people where I would try to explain things, and they were not in a place where they were able to look past some of the things that they were going through, or maybe they didn't want to look past. It would be, I don't know, even more accurate, but everybody is where they are for a very perfect reason. And I feel very strongly that, even if the soul, so let me say this too, I'm grateful for personalities and the ego. I'm grateful for all of that because I think every single part of us is supposed to help us learn balance and how, the ego served man for a long time to help, you know, these physical bodies stay alive, like by being cautious, like don't just run and jump off a cliff or, you know, different things like that. So I feel like there is a purpose for all of it. And it is frustrating when I'm talking with somebody that where I can see their light and see that light wants to come in and be a part of them, but they don't want it. And they think they'll say, right. Why would I want to be miserable? Or why do I want to be poor? Or why do I want to be hated? Or why do I want to be all of these different things? Nobody wants that. Not, I don't know. No personality is going to say that. But right. It's like, what kind of stuff are you carrying, though? And that goes back to that whole layering that I was talking about. I see energy, and I can see energetic scar tissue on people, and I can see the thought forms that they're carrying and connected into the energetic scar tissue, and I understand why they can't let those things go. I have a friend of mine that had a horrible experience she said was an entity outside of herself. She had a horrible experience with it, and when I look at her, I can see where it's not outside herself, though. I can see where it's hooked in. I can see how she's feeling now. She's dealing with it, and it's in light and in love, and she's healing the energetic scar tissue and blossoming and becoming this, you know, amazing reader. It's so cool to watch those things. It's like we can untie a lot of the things that have happened to us, and time heals some wounds, but it doesn't heal all wounds. And we have lodged in our energy and our colors, our pieces of every moment that we've created in our lives from the past. And it's all sitting with you right now, everything you've experienced. And if you don't heal those parts of yourself, because time might make it less painful, but if you haven't dealt with it, you are still going to carry the vibrational charge that event happened on you, whether it be a death or an abusive relationship or any of that stuff. I hate it in one aspect because I don't like it in one aspect because I feel like, dang, you know, you get so bogged down. It's like carrying bricks around in your energy. But on the other hand, when you're able to work through those things and release them and untie a lot of the energetic scar tissue and connections that you have with people or places or things that have hurt you, your entire body of color changes. You do not look the same, and we're always evolving. Our colors are always changing. I think there's like a core energy in all of us at the soul level, but on this physical outside part, we're creating events that are helping us and helping us grow and become whatever kind of person we're putting energy into.
Mm-hmm. That's, you just put it so succinctly and perfectly. What also you are probably saying is that we all have the ability to have a good life. There's none of us that are predestined to be miserable. Is that true?
No, I don't think anybody is predestined to be miserable. And I think that, also, and I say that because I have seen some pretty miserable people with some of the most amazing souls. I myself was miserable for a long time. I was mean-spirited even. I didn't say a whole lot of nice things to people. I felt like, you know, I don't know, I guess because I hated me, you know, I didn't understand me. And that had every single thing to do with how I handled experiences that came my way from the moment that I was born. And when I started going in and not looking outside of myself, but when I started going inside my heart, looking at me, the things that have happened, and dealing with all parts of myself and embracing and loving all parts of myself, when you can kiss your own thought forms and demons on the mouth, that is when you know that love is ruling everything that you're doing. And that is what takes all of the hardness and the scar tissue that we're carrying and releases it back to source, which is what we're trying to do. That's the point, is it's about experience, but it's about finding a balance with that experience. I think some of the greatest people I know have had some of the hardest experiences in their life. It has made them these incredible people, but a lot of times they also carry that pain and the burden of themselves and of their own thought forms and the way they believe with them.
Right. I am of the mindset that unless you experience hardship, you probably aren't going to, all right, I don't know if this is fair to say, but I feel like if you have experienced sorrow and hardship and have had many challenges in your life, then you're going to, I don't know, it just rounds you out more, I think, you know. Do you agree?
But I think any experience, definitely, and some of it, I definitely think that, and not just the bad ones, but the really good ones too. I think all experience is important. One of the things that I don't like is the, there's a, like, people do a lot of guilt shaming, you know, like, well, you shouldn't feel bad because there are people in another country that have no food and you should feel bad for not eating that. Or, you know what? You shouldn't complain about your feet hurting after a long day at work. Some people don't have feet, and it's like everybody's got their own experience, and there's so much shaming and people telling people constantly, oh, you don't get to feel that way, and you shouldn't get to feel that way, and you should, you know, that's a first world problem, but it's still my problem, and I still have to deal with it, and I still have feelings behind it. So when you tell me I can't feel these things, all I'm doing is pretending they're not happening, stuffing them down inside, and feeling guilt instead. I'm feeling guilt, which is not, that's not a spiritual feeling. Guilt is not something that helps you feel better, ever. It makes you feel like crap. You know, we want to work through those things. So, you know, all the guilt shaming and stuff that's real popular these days, I don't like it.
No.
I say if you're experiencing something, then experience it. It doesn't matter where you're from, how big you are, how small you are, none of that matters. What matters is what you're doing with the exact moment that you're feeling these things. I mean, this is out the world, you know, I was always told my whole life, well, the world does not revolve around you, Shelby. And today I say my world does revolve around me, and I don't have to make decisions on what you think I need to do anymore. I will no longer make decisions because you think I should feel bad about something or I should feel good for something. You know, it's like I get to experience all these by myself now. Nobody gets to tell me what's right or wrong for me. I get to do that with my own discernment. And that has been the most freeing thing for me above anything, above all.
Sing it, sister.
Sorry, I told you I would go on. I want to keep cutting you off. Sorry.
No, you're saying such great stuff, Shelby, and oh my God, I mean, really, it is, Carol put truth, and it is truth, you know, although I have to say, I am guilty of saying, what are you complaining about? Why is your curtains not matching a problem? I think that's ridiculous, you know, but anyways, whatever, that's just me.
No, I mean, listen, I do it, I'm not saying I don't do stuff that, you know, I'm not saying that at all. I absolutely do. I sit here talking shit about somebody on TV with my wife earlier today, you know, so I'm like, I'm a human being. We're all human beings enjoying this amazing experience. But if we can identify ourselves beyond just the personality and know that there are many layers of connection all the way to source, and it gives me hope to know that I can always change. I can always change me. And I can always change my circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so all of us can change our circumstances. And I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's kind of like a blanket statement, but I believe it is the truth. Okay, so Shelby, once again, you're all over the place. You're on Intuit Talks. You have the Third Eye Betty WordPress blog. You got to check out Shelby's blog. It's amazing stuff. She's really such a great writer and shares so many revelations with us. And where else can we find you? I know you're on Twitter and everywhere else. Where else can people find
you?
Yeah,
I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere except I don't have like a business Facebook page, but I am on Facebook. It's easier to connect there. And then I read, I do readings in Violet Flame Group. I'm scared to say the wrong name. But I do some readings there sometimes. I enjoy connecting with people.
Yes. And, you know, anyone getting a reading from you is really fortunate, in my opinion. So, you guys, go check out Shelby at her, you know, Facebook. Find out, you know, look at her website and get a reading, get a paid reading. It's so well worth it. And I have to thank you once again, Shelby, from the bottom of my heart. I just love that you came on tonight and you spoke your truth and everything that you said to enlighten us. And you're just an amazing girl, and I love you.
Thank you, Corrine. I love you too. You've been, I mean, by far, just one of the most inspirational people to me, especially the last. You're so freaking supportive, and I love that. I feel like I'm surrounded by women that are supportive of me right now, and I've had supportive women in my life before, but not like this. I feel extraordinarily happy to know you and to be a part of your life and all the people that you've introduced me to. I just really appreciate it. And I really want to come back to your show and do a reading show. We'll do like an hour or something reading show.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh my God, that would be fantastic, Shelby. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Everyone that was here tonight. I, you guys, like most of you, well, I'd say all of you right now are on my prayer list. So, and you can stay on my prayer list by tuning into every show I have. No, I'm only kidding.
There you go.
All right, so that's Shelby Aesthetic. Check her out. And meanwhile, I am booking another show, and just stay tuned. I'm not sure what it's going to be at this point, but stay tuned. And you guys have a fantastic weekend, and take care of one another. And thank you. Thanks again, Shelby.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Johnny Walker rats in the poison rain down the drain to put bad thoughts in my head. Well,